I guess I maybe took for granted what I thought you all knew, but you didn't all know, and that is that we start at 8 o'clock tonight's meeting, and we end it at 9, so we don't have a lot of time tonight. This is a kind of a strange weekend. Saturdays are always a mess at camp with the coming and the going, but this one is even worse because you got the youth retreat going on, so it's nice to see so many of the boys and girls here. All of a sudden, I looked up and I thought, cottage. That's what we should be, cottage, so that we have a cottage meeting tonight. And then the staff that are young people, they don't want to be here with the old people. They want to be down there with the young people, so they skip out of town and run down there. And tomorrow morning, we'll all be together, everybody. We'll all be together. But that's all. Then they'll go back into their little hovels, and we'll be all by ourselves tomorrow night. And then Monday night, then we got another group all together, just for one night, of course. Then the whole counselors all come in, and we have our meeting together here Monday. So it's kind of like every meeting's different, with everybody different. And you don't see the same two people twice, except some of you. You can't get rid of me. But, that's the way it is. But Jesus is the same. And so whether or not, they're here or we're here or who's here or who's not here. But one thing I know for sure is that we're going to be on the same page, I think, because I know what they're doing down in the youth retreat. They know that I know, but they don't know that I'm going to tell you. So you're kind of like, all of you are kind of going to be in on their secret. But they're learning about or studying from last night until Monday morning about God's temple. And they're taking some verses from 1 Corinthians 3 out of context, but I think it applies. I think it's good what they're doing. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians 3, maybe you'll see. And I'd like to just tonight, if we could for a few minutes, look in that chapter at what they've talked about already. I mean, the young people. I think there are truths in 1 Corinthians 3 that are underemphasized. For the most part, in our churches, I don't just mean our fellowship churches, I think they're underemphasized in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I think it's for good reason, because you get to a place where you don't really know what to do with it. And we won't be there until tomorrow, so I'm not going to try to spill the beans. Come back tomorrow morning and you'll hear what's underemphasized and why we don't talk about it. We'll talk about it tomorrow, Lord willing. But here in 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul is, of course, writing to a church, the church in Corinth. Now, whenever Paul went any place, and he went a lot of places. Now, you could probably tell us more about where Paul went, because Rachel just came back from a Pauline tour of the world. And she was over in Greece and saw this and that, and saw all the places Paul walked in and where he went to jail and where they beat him up and dragged him out of the city. Is that Iconium? And left him there for dead. You talk to her about her trip. And if you talk to her long enough, you might be convinced that you should go next year. But it sounds like a very nice thing to do. But Paul, whenever he went anyplace, does anybody know what his message was? Let me qualify that. I'm talking to those that are, I was going to say younger than me. That leaves about three of you out. Those of you that are younger than 20. If there's anybody here younger than 20, when Paul went, this is a hard question for you, I realize. But when Paul went any place, he basically had one message. He didn't, cover everything all in one shot. What was his message? What did he preach? Does anybody, one of you young people or children, do you know what it was? Somebody's saying something? Sister Elsie's pointing. She's not lifting her hand. You're not one of the young people, Sister Elsie. Sammy. Oh, little Sammy. That's right. How can you be saved? You have to believe on him, on Jesus. Right. And I preach, what did Paul say? I preach Christ and him crucified. Now, the Jews don't like that, neither do the Gentiles, for different reasons. But I preach Christ and him crucified. I don't know any other message but Christ, Jesus Christ. And whenever he went into any town, I don't care if it was Athens, where there were wholly given to idolatry and a a pantheon of gods all over the place, or he went into a little place, a city where there was one God. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. And, well, we just sang about it. A.B. Simpson wrote the song, Jesus Only is Our Message. And once it was this or that or the other, but now we just, it's himself. It's just Jesus. 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 Now, some of you boys and girls, if you know this, anybody can help me that wants to bail me out. But so those of you kids that are here, ready? How does this go? Sammy, I know you know this. I know you know this. You're going to get the whole choir going in a minute. It goes like this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Now, some of you are just doing this, which is good. But there's more than the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. Now we're going to skip fast forward through the other two verses, the last verses. So build your house. Okay, that was good. Good. I'm glad it kept coming from back there. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Paul said, I preach Christ. I preach Christ. So why did he write so many letters? He wrote letters that talked about more than just the cross, though it's in there. But he talked about a whole lot of other things besides the cross when he wrote to the Corinthians, when he wrote to the Ephesians, when he wrote to the Philippians, when he wrote any letter, when he wrote the personal epistles. He talked a whole lot more about Christ and him crucified. See, when he started to go to a place that was unevangelized, that didn't know Jesus, didn't know how to get saved, didn't know you needed to believe in him, He laid the foundation. And he said that foundation is Jesus Christ. Period. End of the story. Not Jesus Christ and, not Jesus Christ plus. Just Jesus Christ is the foundation. When he writes to the Ephesians, he puts it a little differently. He said there's the foundation of the prophets, the apostles and the prophets. But there he then says, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the main thing of the foundation wall. He's the foundation. Now, sometimes we equate the Word of God as the same as Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word. Now, that's a tough one, I realize. But Jesus, who lived and who spoke, and the words that he spoke are kind of synonymous. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, John says when he begins to write. And that Word came down, and that Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And when we read the Word of God or have the Word of God, that's part of the foundation of Jesus Christ. His word, himself, what he taught, what he spoke. And so, getting back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is helping them to build correctly on the foundation that was laid. This is how he begins. He said, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Now, that's a very interesting verse in and of itself, I think. He's talking to brothers and sisters. I think the new NIV translation puts brothers and sisters in there, not just brothers. Okay, the sistren are included with the brethren. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm writing to you, but I can't address you. You're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. But I can't address you as if you were spiritual, because you're not. Well, if you're not a brother, then you could be a unspiritual. You could be a worldly brother and sister. Well, you know that's true. You know it's possible. You know brothers and sisters who you might classify as worldly. They need to be, as we sing in the White Book, page 15, save me better, make me purer. Now, we all could sing that. And we all need that. Lord, take a little more of the world out of me. Perfect the thing that concerns me. Make me more like yourself. Now, here the apostle says, I wanted to address you as spiritual brothers and sisters, but I can't do that because you're worldly. You're just a bunch of babies. Well, that's my translation. You're just infants. You're just infants. You were born into the family of God, I don't know how long ago, we could say, just I'm picking a number out of the hat, 5 years ago, but you're still just an infant. Now, you know that nobody 5 years old is still an infant. You know a five-year-old is a little kid like about this big. Some of these people he was writing to, I don't know, could they have been 15? Now, who's 15 here? Anybody 15? Anybody 14, 16? All right, 13. Okay, 13. Okay, now that's not an infant. 13. But you got some, he's talking spiritually to these people. He said, you know, you're just a little baby. You're like an infant. Now, 13-year-olds are not infants. Because physically, 13-year-olds grow 13 years of age. Spiritually, we're supposed to grow. Now, who are we supposed to grow into whose image? Image of Jesus. We're supposed to grow up to be like Jesus. And that's our desire, and it's one of the reasons why Pilgrim Camp exists, so that we can hear more about him and be changed more and more into his image and grow more and more into his likeness. But here Paul's got a bunch of people that started on the good foundation, but they didn't go anywhere. They were just babes. And so he's getting after them a little bit. He says, you're still worldly. You're still infants. I gave you milk, and I don't give you solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready for solid food. You know, little babies drink milk. And when they're little babies, that's all they drink is milk. And they get a little bit older, and they don't drink milk anymore. They drink mush, or eat mush. They grind it up and whatever, baby food. And then they get some teeth. Oh boy, that's fun. When you get teeth, you can chew. So you get pizza and good stuff like that, or whatever. Well, here he says, you still got no teeth. I can't give you anything of meat, of substance, of value. I can't give you anything spiritual for you to chew on. I want to, I'd like to, but you're a bunch of babies, you're infants. And you still just need milk, 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 and more milk. Now, if these 13-year-olds were still just only drinking milk, they wouldn't look like they do. They'd be a little smaller, malnourished. And that's what Paul is writing to, a bunch of malnourished Christians. He said, you're still worldly, and here he tells them why. Here's why they're infants. This is your problem, he said, in a nutshell. Just a few of the many problems that could continue to cause infancy in people who should be mature. But he said, you're a bunch of infants because there's jealousy and there's quarreling among you. Now, I'm so happy that there's none of that ever at Pilgrim Camp, ever. Nobody who comes to Pilgrim Camp is jealous. And nobody who comes to Pilgrim Camp is quarreling. Or should we say, everybody that comes to Pilgrim Camp is jealous. And everybody who comes to Pilgrim Camp is quarreling. Now, which of those two statements would be more true? We're not jealous or quarreling, or we are jealous or quarreling. Hopefully, we're not. But, you know, even people that come to Pilgrim Camp could quarrel. Quarrel. What's there to quarrel about when you're a Pilgrim Camp? Ho-ho! Ho-ho! Plenty. If you'd like to. But Paul here is addressing the believers, brothers and sisters. Now, he's not saying you're a bunch of murderers and adulterers and thieves. Certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. He's not saying that to them. I mean, so what? They're just jealous and quarreling. I mean, everybody jealous and quarreling. No, they're not. No, they're not. Not if you want to grow up. Not if you want to be on the foundation and build on it. You don't build on the foundation with jealousy and quarreling, bickering and backbiting, whispering and emulation, and all the other works of the flesh. Did I mention, and I don't know, there's a disconnect in some Christians' minds when you read the works of the flesh are these, and then it's like a mirror picture of what they're like, but it just doesn't seem to connect. Because, well, it doesn't really matter. That's not such a big deal. That's just a little thing. That I, at least I don't do drugs or whatever it might be. Paul is writing to people who he wishes would get with the program. The program is that you've got to come from where you're in the miry clay and the foundation of sand, and you've got to come onto a good, solid foundation. And the foundation is Jesus Christ, but you're worldly, so I can't write to you as spiritual. There's jealousy, there's quarreling among you. Are you not worldly? Are you still acting like mere men? Now, that means just natural inclinations. You're acting like just a bunch of, well, just a bunch of people from society, a bunch of worldly people. The people that you go to school with, the people that you go to work with, the people that live in the community, you're just like mere men. For when one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? Now, there's a problem there, because, you can like Paul, and you can like Apollos, and you can think Apollos, you like him better because he teaches more. Paul just yells a lot when he evangelizes it. So I like the teaching ministry better of Apollos than I do. But that's okay. But they got off of Jesus Christ, it seems. And now their guru was Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or somebody else. I follow him. I follow this one. I follow that one. I follow Gordon Gardner. Oh no, I follow Hans Waldfogel. Oh no, I follow Martha Wing Robinson. See, they got wings. I follow, and we can get off center. We can get, no, not, I'm not anybody here, because you could never, this is not you. Just everybody else that's not here. But we could get off center. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Paul or Apollos or any of these others. There's nothing wrong with them. And they're all great, wonderful. But I follow. Hey, wait, we're forgetting something here. We're not following Paul. We're not following him, or we're not following her. Because when you follow him or her or them, you get into trouble. I can tell you long stories historically of Christians, denominational Christians, people who began to, instead of following Christ, began to follow the guru. And they went to Guyana and drank the Kool-Aid. Or they went to here and they did this. Or they began the communal, we follow him, we follow her. Paul says, you're missing something. No matter how good he is or she might be. Paul says, you say one's following Paul, one's following Apollos. Are you not mere men? You're just like people, follow the guru. Like people follow the leader. You're missing it entirely. You're missing the mark. He goes on, second paragraph. What, after all, is Apollos? And what's Paul? They're only servants through whom you came to believe in the Lord, as the Lord has assigned to each task. They're just people who told you about Jesus. They're just people who introduced you to the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the cross to cleanse and to save you. And the one who you should base your life on is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't base my life on Pilgrim Camp. I love Pilgrim Camp. We love Pilgrim Camp. But we don't live for Pilgrim Camp or base our lives on Pilgrim Camp. And Pilgrim Camp could take a left turn and go wrong. But we need to stay on the foundation. We need to stay on Christ. And so Paul goes on just a little bit more tonight when he says, these are servants who Jesus used to speak, and they have all been assigned to their task. And my task is I've the foundation built. I planted the seed. I started the whole thing going. That was the task given to me. That was my job. I'm Paul. Okay, you want to follow me all your life? Follow me all your life, but you get stuck. Don't follow me all your life. Because somebody else comes after me and somebody waters what's been planted. But it's God that makes it grow. I don't make it grow. I can't make it grow. I wish I could. But the only thing I can do is give the Word of God, Jesus, I can give Jesus to people. I can go wherever it is he wants me to go, and I can give them Jesus. And then I lay the foundation, and then we build lives on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And we need to be careful, he says, how we build. But don't miss the point of what Paul is trying to drive home to them. You're worldly. You're just naturally minded. You're thinking like regular men, ordinary people. You're not thinking spiritual. And I can't give you spiritual truth. Not even now can I give you spiritual truth, because you're not able to take it. I want to. Because your life is not just a foundation. The house that you live in, all of you live in a house, I'm assuming. The house that you live in is not just a foundation. If it was, that'd be a pretty hard life. But on the foundation, there's something built. And as we go on from being born again and having our lives taken out of the miry clay and our feet set upon the rock, Christ Jesus, as we begin that new walk of faith with him, then we're building every day. We're building, and we need to be sure that we continue to build on the foundation. Just one more verse. I'll catch up to where I think they are. So he says, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, God's field, God's building. And so verse 10, by the grace that God has given to me, I laid the foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. Now that someone else, I think what Paul is referring to is another person, Paul, Peter, Apollos. I rolled into town and I preached Christ and him crucified. And then I left Ephesus and John was your pastor. And John for 7 years was your pastor in Ephesus. And he didn't just lay the foundation every meeting. He just didn't tell you the rudimentaries. One, how to get saved. Two, to be born. He went on from there. And he began to teach you how to build your life. But it's not really John, and it's not really this one, and it's not Apollos in Corinth. That's where Apollos was. It's not. That's not the important thing. I laid the foundation, and then others are building on that foundation. Now, I think what we are doing here at camp, I think what they are doing down there, is they're being challenged, not to necessarily we've gotten saved, but now we listen to brother this one and sister so-and-so, and they're different people that, and we're not following, but we're building. But they're being challenged to be careful as to how they as individuals are building their lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And I don't think that's doing any damage to the text. I think it could be applied that way. We need to take heed how we build. And individually, we need to take heed how we build. You can build, he's going to go on to say, and we'll read more about it tomorrow perhaps, but you can build with gold and with silver and with precious stones. Now, I don't want to live in a house that's made out of gold, silver, or precious stones. I'll take brick and mortar. But he's using that as an illustration. You can build with some things that are imperishable, some things that will last. They're as good a quality as the foundation upon which you're building. Or you can build your life with junk. You can build your life with hay, wood. You can build your life with stuff that's not going to be around very long. And one day, we're going to find out how we've built our lives. Now that's a critical, and I think a very sobering thought. Because we can get the end of our lives and we can find ourselves on our way to heaven. We're going to heaven. Well, our name is written in the book of life. We're on the right foundation. We put our lives down there. But what we've built with has been all junk. it's a possibility that when we get to the judgment seat of Christ and give an account as to how we've lived in these bodies, whether good or bad, everything will be burned up and there'll be nothing left. Nothing left. Paul goes on and he says, you'll be saved so as by fire, but there'll be nothing, nothing else. No rewards for nothing that I've done. Who cares? Oh, you'll care. I'll care too in that day. Take heed, not only that you're building on the right foundation, but be careful that you're building with the right stuff. Your character, following through on what you say you'll do, the stuff that you use in your Christian walk, your obedience to Christ, your trustworthiness, the characteristics that mark Jesus Christ should mark the building of our lives as we're growing up to become the habitation of God by His Spirit. And so they're tonight being challenged to build well, to not use junk. If they're playing a game, recognize that the game ends. A monopoly money doesn't cut it in heaven. And only what's done for Christ will last. And only the stuff that's gold, precious stones, silver, is going to stand the test. And so take heed how you're living your life, how you're building your life. Oh, I only scrub the pots when the cook is watching me. Otherwise, I just put them back on the shelf, greasy as they may be, or whatever it might be. No, Lord, You're watching me all the time. I'm building my life. That's part of building my life. Lord, I can be trusted. I'm trustworthy. And so they're being challenged, and they'll be called in just a little while, I'm pretty sure, to make a commitment. To make a commitment to this day, if I haven't been doing well, from this day forward, I'm going to make a commitment to build my life using good quality material. I'm going to build my life with gold and silver and precious stones. I'm going to live in such a way that I might hear one day, good job, well done, good and faithful servant. And so we pray that God will speak to their hearts, but that God will bless our hearts too. And that God will help us. Oh Lord, am I spiritual or am I carnal? Am I mature or am I a baby? Have I grown? Okay, now, how long is it that you've been saved? Oh, and you're good because now you're, you know, now you're 3 years old or 6 years old. Spirit, Lord, am I growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ? And am I building my life on a good foundation with good quality material? Father, help us. Lord, there's a day that will declare it. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that will stand the test. That, Lord, what we've done for you, and some here in this room have been serving with all their hearts for a long time. And we read words in Corinthians also and other places too. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. Don't get weary in well-doing. In due season, you're going to reap. Don't faint. Oh, Lord, we take those admonitions, and we keep at it. Lord, thank you for the foundation. There is no other foundation. The Ridgewood Fellowship is not the foundation. Brother Hunt's is not the foundation. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for good teachers and guides and leaders that you've given to us. But there is no foundation than that which is laid, and that is Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, help us to build, and to build well on that solid rock. We ask it for your name's sake.